The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Here's what we are tracking today. Of course, the FOMC rate decision is the big news making the headlines. And it seems like stock markets are, well, trying to figure out how to make sense of what's happening overnight. So you had, as widely expected, no rate changes, but the Fed has opened the door for a rate cut in the near future. And what's really making things interesting is that drop in the yields for the 10-year bonds, breaking below 2% for the first time in 3 years. So what does this mean for markets and what should investors be doing right now? Let's get the bigger picture from Shane Oliver. He is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Shane. So quite an interesting morning. Usually the Fed meetings don't get so, well, exciting. You now have the bond yields breaking below 2%. Before we get to that, let's get your help to recap what happened at the Fed meeting. What did you take away from the meeting? We didn't get a rate cut as widely expected. They dropped the word patient. So it looks like we are all set for a rate cut at the next meeting in July.
That's right. The Fed meeting, I think, was very dovish in terms of its outcome. The word patient, which used to be used in the context of that they will be patient in raising interest rates, has been dropped. They've downgraded their assessment of the economy. They've downgraded their inflation expectations. There's quite a lot of Fed officials now in the camp that says rates should be cut, several of them by 50 basis points as opposed to the usual 0.25%. So all of that, I think, is consistent with the Fed moving to cut interest rates at their next meeting in July, barring a big improvement in economic data or some sort of breakthrough on the trade front. But it looks like the Fed is on track for cutting rates, and it looks like they're probably going to do it more than once.
So, Shane, the Fed has been talking for some time about the need to wait and see for more data before acting. So looking at the data we've gotten so far, are you seeing enough to justify that July cut? How bad does the data need for us to get to that point?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's two aspects here. There's the inflation numbers, and of course, that's what the Fed targets. And of course, they're already at the point where you could arguably justify a rate cut with the Fed's preferred inflation measure sort of getting up around 2% a year or so ago and now falling back to around 1.5%. But I think you'd probably need to see some more softness on the economic data front as well. And that's what the Fed indicated when they said they were closely monitoring how things proceed from here. So if we see ongoing signs of potential softness in the labour market, it's a bit patchy at the moment, but that there has been some evidence in that direction. If we see a bit more of that and continued weakness in the business surveys, downwards momentum in those business surveys, then I think that would tip the Fed over into a rate cut. But they're also concerned about the uncertainties, particularly on the trade front. If the trade situation is still not showing clear signs of being resolved, then that's another factor that could get them to move.
Okay, Shane, we are looking at the 10-year bond yields as well. It's broken below 2% for the first time in 3 years. And all this talk about the yield curve inversion signaling a recession, what is the significance of this now that the gap between the 10-year bonds and the 3-month bonds is even wider now? Is this a warning sign?
It certainly is a warning sign, and it's noteworthy that the 10-year bond yield is back to levels last seen soon after President Donald Trump was elected back in late 2016. So his election sort of set off a huge surge in bond yields on the assumption that he's going to make America great again, and therefore a greater America will mean higher bond yields. Now, that lasted for a little while, but not long. When bond yields come down and fall below the level of short-term interest rates, then it's a signal that the market expects the Fed to cut interest rates, that expects that economic activity or inflation will be weaker. And historically, when we've had a yield curve which inverts, that's where the 10-year bond yield falls below short-term interest rates, and it remains inverted for a while, a few months, then historically, 15 months later, we've had recessions. So that is certainly a worrying sign. There are a few reasons to not get too concerned about it this time. One is that other indicators in the US economy don't indicate the sort of excess that normally precedes recession. We haven't had a housing boom that's going to go bust. We haven't had an investment boom that's going to go bust in the US. And also, you could argue that all this talk about quantitative easing getting ramped up again, that's artificially pushing bond yields lower than what otherwise been the case. And also a lot of the recent fall in bond yield owes to weak inflation expectations, not so much weak growth expectations. So bottom line to me is that it is flashing red. It's a warning sign. Got to keep an eye on that. Mm. But I think more broadly, the US economy probably keeps growing. So it's something I'm going to keep an eye on going forward. But I'm still not in the camp that says there's going to be a recession in the US in the next, say, 18 months.
Mm, Shane, in the face of this, with rate expectations rising, as an investor, what do you think they should be doing? Because we are looking at bank shares taking quite a bit of pressure with lower rates. And dividend stocks seems to be in vogue right now with what's happening. What's your take on where investors should be allocating their portfolio?
Well, lower interest rates, you can argue, are a mixed bag for share markets, but on balance, they tend to be positive. When you lower interest rates, it makes shares look more attractive. So whatever the dividend yield the share market was providing, if you start cutting interest rates and therefore rates of interest in the banks and on government bonds, then it makes the share market relatively more attractive. And that attracts money into share markets. And that's what we've been seeing on and off now for the last decade or so, lower interest rates helping the share market. Now, of course, the central bank is cutting interest rates because it's worried about the growth outlook, and that's bad for earnings. So that's the force operating in the other direction. But I think as long as we don't go into recession, the US economy, the global economy keeps growing, earnings keep growing, therefore there'll be more of a positive for share markets than a negative from all of this. But you could go through a bit of a rough patch. You know, investors say, well, we've had a bit of a rally into this, talked about easing by the Fed, but we still haven't resolved the trade situation. We've still got some weak economic data, so you can't rule out further setbacks in the market in the short term. But generally speaking, if I'm thinking about a 6 to 12 month horizon, I'd say this shift by the Fed, by the ECB, other central banks around the world, China, the Reserve Bank of Australia, the Reserve Bank of India, that shift towards easier interest rates should help share markets be higher in 6 to 12 months' time. So that's the way I would see it. And of course, it also favours, as you're alluding to, it favours stocks that pay decent dividends, because dividend plays on the share market come into favour. Investors say, well, I'm not going to pay a lot of money for a highly specky stock in this environment, given the growth uncertainty, but yeah, I might go into a dividend, high dividend yielding stock, so they become more attractive and they tend to lead the share market higher.
Mm, central banks becoming a bit more dovish, and something to look out for today will be the BOE and the BOJ in action today. We've been speaking with Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, always great chatting with you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Have a great day ahead.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.